Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Some news to pass along. Tommy Hudson, Titans tight end, has been taken off of PUP, so we'll see if he's out there today as the pads go on. Deshaun Watson, the suspension number is in. 6 games for Deshaun Watson is the number. So Sue L. Robinson, the independent arbiter, coming out with her ruling earlier this morning around 7:30, 6 games is the number for Deshaun Watson. Joe, ultimately, I mean, we were talking about 6 games, you know, 5 months ago in the process of this, and then speculation grew that maybe it's up to a year. You know, the NFL asked for at least a year of an indefinite suspension, and it comes out today that 6 games is the number for Deshaun Watson. So real quickly, before we get back into the Titans, what did you make of the number for Deshaun Watson with 6 games being the suspension?
Yeah, one thing I wonder is, so let's say all the reporting from Jenny Vrentas in particular from the New York Times, you know, didn't come out, which painted a much bigger picture of all of this and added greatly to the numbers of women he contacted and scheduled massages with. What if all that hadn't happened? Because yeah, it was in the wake of that all of a sudden, I remember talking with Jared and Caroline. Jared was like, this could be like the end of his career. Certainly it's at least a season. I think a lot of people thought a season seemed likely. And even with all that information, it's 6 games. So what would it have been if none of that had happened? I don't know. These things are none of them are exactly the same. And so it's never apples to apples, but I absolutely subscribe to the complaint today that Calvin Ridley got a year, you know, because, he went on a betting app and by golly, you cannot mess with the product, but hey, you can be a creepy sexual predator guy and, you know, get a few games and come on back to the field.
Check out this tweet from Diana Rossini. It says, quote, I spoke to sources close to Deshaun Watson who believe 6-game suspension is, quote, too much. They stand by his claim that he did not do anything wrong. However, they do accept it was a fair process with a neutral party hearing the case and making the decision. So there's that from Diana Rossini. Too much.
Okie dokie.
All righty.
Too much. Yeah.
Interesting stuff there. So that's the number 6 games for Deshaun Watson being suspended to begin the season. And we'll see if the NFL appeals that. They've got 3 days to figure out whether or not they're going to do that. So, Joe, I threw out this question earlier in the show, and we got a lot of response to it, a lot of different responses to it. Do Titans fans still believe they're in the window to win? Now, you look around externally right now, and we're starting to get to the point where the preseason predictions and all that stuff is going to come out. My guess is you're not going to see the Titans very high on most of those lists. You might see them winning the AFC South in a few of them, but certainly as it comes to Super Bowl contenders, probably not going to see the Titans on many of those. If you go by Vegas and the sports books out there, not a whole lot of love for the Titans heading into this year either. So I throw that out there to Titans fans. Do Titans fans still believe that this team is in the window to win and to compete for a Super Bowl? Joe Rexroad, how would you go about answering that question?
I would say you can't rule it out. I mean, I would say you can't dismiss it. I'd also say that I felt just like most people who, you know, follow this team, that last year was an opportunity you can't squander, and they squandered the opportunity. And so I think it's more likely than anything that somewhere down the road, 5 years, 10 years, whenever it is, we will look back at last year and say, man, that was a chance. It's obviously very, very difficult to be one of the last two teams playing. This franchise, which has been in existence for more than 60 years, has done that one time ever. So now some have done it none, by the way, looking
true
at you, Detroit Lions. But it's very difficult. And when you have 2 home games to win to get to the Super Bowl, you gotta play better than the Titans did. And that's why John Robinson's crying at the Combine Indy. That's why Ryan Tannehill is telling us about just the nightmares and talking to a therapist and trying to get over his performance. I mean, it's a huge squandered opportunity. That doesn't mean that there's no chance this year. Not at all. A lot of things have to break right for this team. But I would not look at this team and say, sorry, it's over, window closed. You have no way of getting through. There's a way, It involves a defense that's elite. It involves number 22 being elite and available all season. And of course, it involves number 17 making plays at the most important time. And we just won't know with him. I'm sorry. I don't care what we see, what we've seen in camp, what we see the rest of camp. And really, even a lot of the regular season, like Ryan Tannehill could win the MVP this year. Okay. He could throw 50 touchdown passes, five picks, 5,000 yards, be the MVP of the NFL. And still, what are we going to say before they open the playoffs in January? Can he handle this moment?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know, but there are other things about this team that are good.
I said this after the Monday that we came on after the Cincinnati game in the playoffs. I said that day that felt like to me the opportunity that one day the Titans are going to look back on, whether that be John Robinson or Tannehill or whoever, they're going to look back on that and say, man, that was it. I mean, you had a home game. You were the number one seed. You would have had the rest of the playoffs at home until the Super Bowl, and you had a 9-sack performance for your defense, and you lose. Like that felt to me like the game where that was the missed opportunity for the Titans. Now, having said that, if you ask me what I thought this team was going to be heading into this year, would they be on my list of Super Bowl contenders? Probably not. I mean, they're probably not on my list. Now, having said that, the defense, to me, on paper, has a chance to be as good, if not better, than any defense they've had here since Ryan Tannehill took over as quarterback. I mean, you look at the defense. We'll see how Caleb Farley comes along. He's a big question mark in the secondary. And obviously, I mean, there could be some drop-offs that we're just not anticipating, some injuries that we're not anticipating. But I think the defense has a chance to be pretty special. I said it the other day. I believe it. If Derrick Henry's healthy, you can't convince me that he's not going to have a big year. I think he's going to have a massive year if he stays healthy. So that, to me, is still the path. And that really hasn't changed. We've been asking the philosophical question about this really the whole time since Tannehill took over. We've never confused Tannehill for Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady out there. If the Titans were going to win a Super Bowl, to me, it was always going to be kind of a different path. Derrick Henry was going to be a big part of it, and I still believe that to be the case this year. Now, Tannehill has to play better, and number one, he can't give the other team the ball. That's the main thing heading into this season. But I still think that philosophical question applies because I think the Titans are going to run the ball a lot this year, and they're going to play good defense this year, and that's going to have to be the formula with which they win ball games.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Caleb on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Titans are absolutely not in the race. Too many questions. The schedule doesn't look favorable. First of all, I mean, look, on the schedule, if there's something that's kind of consistent here, it's that Mike Vrabel gets his team to play really well against the best teams in the NFL. So, yeah. I agree. It's a tough schedule. But I think the Titans, when you can stop people, when you can rush the passer, and when you can run the football, that does equalize some things. There are a lot of teams in the schedule that have better quarterbacks than the Titans. There are other things the Titans have that can equalize that some. And, yeah, there are a lot of questions. Look, some years for some teams, you check a whole bunch of boxes, you know, and it goes your way. And maybe it's going to go the Titans' way on the injuries this year, the way it didn't go last year. It's amazing last year. For as bad as that playoff failure was, it's amazing to consider all the things that went against them that still didn't stop them from going 12-5 and getting the one seed, including, again, incredible performance against the tougher teams on their schedule.
Well, to the scheduling point, you know, Dave and Big Rock brought this up earlier, and I mean, I guess I understand what he's saying. He says that we'll know by week 8 because the top half of their schedule is pretty brutal. I mean, they do have the Bills. They've got the Raiders. They've got the Colts twice. You know, I guess if you want to call it week 9, now the unofficial halfway point of the season, they've got the Chiefs in there too. But, I mean, you turn around right after that, Joe. They've got Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I mean, the bottom half of that schedule, Dak Prescott, they got good quarterbacks all over this thing. Like Mike Sando from The Athletic came out with a piece, I think it was either Friday or over the weekend, basically breaking down each team's schedule in terms of the quarterbacks that they'll be playing against. And the Titans were at number 2 in terms of difficulty. It was Kansas City at number 1, and the Titans were at number 2. So really throughout the schedule. I mean, I'd probably argue that the first part of their schedule overall, from a quarterback standpoint, is easier than the bottom half of their schedule.
You're just going to disrespect Daniel Jones, huh?
I'm going to disrespect Daniel Jones, yes. What,
man. Or could it be Jimmy G?
Or I'm also going to disrespect Carson Wentz in week 5 as well. I will do that.
Oh, man.
To some degree, I'm comfortable disrespecting Matt Ryan, too, even though the word out of Indy keeps being that they're going 17-0, I think.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much excitement in Indy about Matt Ryan.
It's unbelievable.
Oh. Yeah, but no, you're right. It is a loaded quarterback schedule. It's a great, football matchup. I mean, this Titans defense against all those quarterbacks. I know that if they sack them 9 times like they sacked Burrow, in the playoff game, then they'll probably win a lot of those games. But that's going to be, and again, especially like if Caleb Farley is going to become a good cornerback this year and solidify that group. And Roger McCreary is going to be effective and capable as a rookie with everything else they have. That's a great matchup. A lot of weeks. So that defense against, go down that list, a lot of great QBs and offenses.
So Titans fans, we throw that question out to you. Do you still consider the Titans in a window to win? Are they a contender for the Super Bowl heading into this season? Hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. $20, it can buy you lunch, a pizza, and a cold beer, or it could put a new pair of shoes on the feet of a homeless child in Middle Tennessee. That's what Souls for Music City is all about, raising money to make that happen. Will you help us in that effort? If so, text DONATE to 615-737-1025. Once again, that's DONATE to 615-737-1025 and make a $20 donation. You can make more if you'd like, but $20 is what we're asking for. Let's make a difference in the life of a child, one pair of shoes at a time. Thanks once again for your help. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll have a great interview with Aaron Brewer, Titans guard, coming up at 9:30. So looking forward to that. Right now, throwing this question out there and taking your thoughts on it, 615-737-1025. Do you still believe the Titans are in their window to win? Are they a Super Bowl contender in your mind heading into this season? Now, obviously, Joe, we've talked about the offense, Tannehill, he's going to have to be better, all that stuff. How much does Vrabel factor into this discussion in your mind? I heard Jared and Caroline talking about it last week. Jared thinks Vrabel is the best coach in the NFL right now. Now, he did just win NFL Coach of the Year, so that does help in that argument. But how much does Vrabel and his ability to have this team rise up when it looks like the odds are against them, all that stuff that we talk about with Vrabel, how much does he factor into this discussion when it comes down to the team and whether or not they're a quote-unquote true Super Bowl contender?
What's Jared's word? Bobo?
Yeah.
My goodness. King Bobo over there, huh? Best in the NFL. Well, I don't know. I guess, to me, the best coach in the NFL isn't it Belichick? Is that still pretty, obvious?
Look, you can get me down my hot take syndrome here, but go look at Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady and then keep telling me he's the best coach in the NFL.
Ooh, okay. So who's the best coach in the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think the bottom line in this league is that a lot of times it boils down to your players. I mean, Sean McVay, yes, you can make an argument for. Look, I think Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. I think Vrabel's a great coach. There are some great coaches in this league. Look, Belichick's a great coach. I say that half tongue-in-cheek, but his record without Brady is really not that good. But I think a lot of it boils down to the players in this league. But Vrabel would be on my list for sure. He's certainly not the 7th most likely coach to be fired in the NFL, like that list we saw from Oddshark last week.
Yeah. No, look, he's demonstrated that he's a good coach. I mean, look, the out-coaching thing is way overused. Like, basically, if a team beats another team, I guess you could always say the team, the winning coach, out coach the other coach. Sometimes, though, there have been instances where Vrabel has been very clever on game day and has won games with that. And I think he's demonstrated, if you want to do some comparisons, I will happily compare him to Frank Reich and say the Titans got the better part of that deal.
There's no question.
When the Colts chose Frank Reich over Vrabel, you know, at this point, it's not only it's close. Now, the other thing about coaching, though, is it's also who you hire. Vrabel's had success, but we're still waiting to see on that OC hire. And, you know, that the weird year where he didn't want to name a DC, he kind of went Belichick on that. We weren't sure about Shane Bowen. I think Shane Bowen answered a lot of questions last year also. I think Shane Bowen, you know, he coached the players, but also he benefited from a lot of players like Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and Landry and et cetera, playing really well. But that's the coaching aspect of this is, to me, it's centered on that OC situation. Is Downing going to have a better year? He needs to have a better year. And is Tim Kelly going to add anything to it? Because so far, Vrabel's instincts on promoting and hiring have been good, but I'm not sure that we will be talking about that whenever, you know, Todd Downing moves on. This is a critical year for him. And if he's not better, if they're not better in that way, you know, then I think you can look at the Titans coaching overall and say, you know, that it's just not as good as it could be. And that maybe is what holds this team back.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kelly from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Kelly, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Rook. Hello, Kelly.
Hey. I definitely think that the Titans are still in the window for winning as far as the regular season. Playoffs, it's so hard to determine because it seems – look what happened when we went to the AFC Championship. We had – what, bid for 16? But then, you know what happens every time we get the number one seed? We're losing at home.
That is
first
true.
First game, first week. So it's just so hard to tell. And as far as the team goes, I mean, we really just need – I think we do have the team to do it. I've just always been that type of guy. Like everybody else, you got to have the right type of quarterback. But, of course, it's the level of the team because, I mean, look at Stafford. Like, Stafford, I say he's like top 15. He's never been like top. He may have been like top 10 one year, but he's like top 15. You know, look at Trent Dilfer when they won the Super Bowl. They had an amazing defense. So if the team can come around Ryan Tannehill, I think he's capable, but it's never going to be he's going to throw for, you know, 25 and 30 and 300 yards and four touchdowns. That's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I feel.
Thanks for the call, Kelly. We appreciate it. I mean – there's the Tannehill part of this show, but there's a more complicated layer to this question this year as opposed to the last couple in my mind, because everybody's been chasing Kansas City the last couple of years. And I know Cincinnati, they got to the Super Bowl last year and all that stuff. But now you look around the AFC, and it's more complicated this year because it's better. Like, the AFC is significantly better than it was even this time last year. So it's not only, like, the Titans themselves, are they – as good, better, worse, how much worse heading into this year, but it's also relative to the teams around them, a lot of which they'll be playing this year, by the way. It's a completely different question to me that way, too, because of how much better the AFC as a whole has gotten. Like, right now, the two conferences, like, I was looking at this the other day. When you start looking at the elite teams, or at least the teams that you think are going to be that way heading into the year, it's not really all that close between the AFC and the NFC right now.
No, and that perfectly answers David on the text line, who says, the Titans are defending AFC champions. Are they better or worse going into start of the season? I'd argue they're better. So how can they not be considered a contender? Because it's not a vacuum, David. I'm not saying that they can't be. I think we're agreeing that you can't say the window is closed. But you also, if you're going to go with this, then you got to look at other teams. Who else is better? The Raiders are certainly, I think, better. They're intriguing. Broncos have a quarterback. How good will they be? I don't know, but they got Russell Wilson. I think the Colts will be better. I don't know that Matt Ryan's going to get a second MVP.
Well, even a team like better. Baltimore. Like, Baltimore Absolutely. Missed the playoffs last year, and they're going to be healthier this year. There's no way. They're kind of like the Titans. There's no way they're going to be as hurt this year as they were last year. So there's them too.
And the Browns are going to have Deshaun Watson for most of the year. Yeah. And the Bengals are not going to be complete sieves in front of Joe Burrow this year. And the Chargers, hopefully for them, will not have a coach who completely stymies opportunities to win because he doesn't understand down and distance. I mean, there's a lot of quality in this conference. So, and again, if you go boil it down to the most important position, which some people do, and it's simplistic, but if you boil it down like that, the Titans are behind quite a few of these AFC teams.
Well, and that's really the big thing. Like, you know, Corey Curtis was on with us earlier, and he did bring up Tannehill. He doesn't believe he's thrown an interception so far during training camp, and that bodes
Oh, my goodness.
Bodes well for the season. Like
MVP.
It's regardless of if you want to factor in the teams around them or not. Like, in order for me, for the Titans to even be considered in this, like, he has to take a significant step forward from what he was last year. Like, he doesn't have to, you know, go outside of his body or anything and be anything that he's not. But if he's close to 2020 Ryan Tannehill, then to me this team's got a shot. If he's not, then with the rest of the AFC being what it is, it's difficult to carve out a path to them being a Super Bowl contender in my mind.
Yeah, and of course, 2020 Ryan Tannehill had 2,000-yard Derrick Henry.
He did.
Had tremendous offensive line play, tremendous before Luan got hurt, and I would still say like pretty good afterward. Like, they held it together pretty well, and of course, he had AJ Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, and it was that's the thing. That year, he actually had more variety in reliable weapons downfield than he had last year, even though last year he was supposed to have this ridiculous offense. Jared, by the way, says they didn't choose Reich over Vrabel. They chose McDaniels. Well, yeah, but okay, right. And then McDaniels bailed. Is that what? Yeah, I suppose. Well, I mean, bottom line, they turned down Vrabel, right?
Correct.
I don't remember the timing of everything, but I thought that they still could have hired Vrabel when they hired Reich. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I want to say you're right, but we'll go back and double check.
Yeah. I mean, I'm usually right when it comes down to these certain people. But regardless, I mean, I know this, that there's been bouquets thrown left and right at both Ballard and Reich, and they've been outperformed, period, by their counterparts here in Nashville.
Well, and, you know, that even boils down to this year. You know, we talked about the Deshaun Watson thing earlier. Like, to me, and you could say this every year, but I think it's especially true this year, the surest way to get in the playoffs this year is for you to beat out the Colts. Like, you've got to win your division. That should be the goal for the Titans this year, because I mean, I look around the rest of the AFC right now, and maybe some of it is just going to be cannibals, you know, just cannibals out there. You eat up yourself. It's kind of like the SEC back in the day, the SEC West, but there's so many good teams that are going to be competing for playoff spots. That's when, number one, you got to get your wins against Houston and Jacksonville this year, all of them. And you got to make sure that you handle business against the Colts. Like, you got to take care of business in your division, because that's the path to making the playoffs and getting a home playoff game this year. Because I think the AFC's way, way better than it was this time a year ago.
Yeah, the North and the West, I mean, the good thing is they all play each other twice, so they're going to beat each other up.
Yeah.
But if you tell me right now that the South and the East are each just getting their division winner in, I'm not shocked if that's the case. So you always want to win your division anyway, but that may be the one ticket this year.
Although, you know, Miami's a team we haven't even talked about, but according to Tyreek Hill, like, Tua's accuracy is just unbelievable. Like, Patrick Mahomes has nothing on Tua.
I mean,
I'm just telling you what the guy said.
Hey, I'm not laughing at him. Tua's arm talent in college is like as good as I've seen for a college quarterback. I don't know if he'll ever turn into a good pro quarterback, but I know that he does not have to be a dink and dunk guy his whole career. The guy can throw the football.
Coming up next, we'll play a great interview from Aaron Brewer over the weekend, who is competing for the left guard spot with the Tennessee Titans. We'll get his thoughts on that and how he has overcome a certain quote-unquote deficiency in his game to get him to the point where he is right now. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages gives you the best views of the city with skyline kayaking, river scavenger hunts, and a party pontoon with your own captain as well. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Our Titans training camp coverage presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Really good interview with Aaron Brewer, Titans offensive guard, over the weekend from camp. He talked about a lot of things, including his ability to overcome his lack of size at that position at the NFL level. Really interesting stuff from Aaron Brewer. Here was that conversation with Titans offensive guard Aaron Brewer.
Did you hear Vrabel say you were tougher than a $2 steak yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that mean to you?
What does it mean to me? It means a lot. I don't know what to say about it. It's still funny as hell to me. But hey, I don't know a better description to describe me. So I love it.
Yeah, I mean, because he doesn't give out praise a ton, right, uh-huh, about players. What have you done to get yourself in this position right now?
I say just coming in every day, working, like no matter circumstance. I'm going every day, like no matter who I'm going against, what I'm doing, I'm giving it my all my effort, just buying into the culture every day.
Given where you are starting in the unofficial depth chart that we see out here, uh-huh, do you feel like this is your job, or do you feel like you have to win the job in camp?
I feel like it's my job, and I feel like I got to win it every day, because this is the NFL, so every day you come in to compete, and there's new rookies and just new players coming in from everywhere coming to take your job. So the same time, I feel like it's mine, and I got to work every day to keep it. I mean, earn it every day.
How important is it in that process for you as you work that you've got a guy like Taylor on one side and a guy like Ben on the other side?
It's good, like, to have them vets, to have that knowledge, that work, and they've had great careers, successful careers, and they still going, they year 10, year 11. Now, I'm trying to get like them, so just having them next to me, learning from everything they're doing mentally, physically, overall, is great.
Taylor mentioned that he thought you and he could kind of do some things together. He said similar skill set. I assume he's talking about like athleticism, right? I mean, getting to the next seven levels. Have you guys talked about that? And have you? I know pads will help show a lot of that more, but have you seen some of that play out in YouTube playing together?
Yeah, absolutely. Because our identity is effort, speed off the ball, toughness, finishing. That defines both of us. That's what we built off of. And basically, like, just how we come off the ball, we running off the ball.
Appreciate it.
We running off the ball. So just that itself, us two probably being some of the fastest offensive linemen you'll come across that help us.
You ever had a $2 steak?
Yeah. It reminds me of me.
Did you hear what Brable said about that?
Yeah. I'm tougher than a $2 steak. Yeah. Hey, that's a great description of myself.
What do you hope to accomplish here in camp?
In camp? Just to stack every day and just get better every day. Just fundamentally, technique-wise, conditioning. Just every single day try to work on something to improve and just to be the best player I can be.
You buddies with Jayon?
Jayon, yeah.
Has he seen you in the 55, and what did he say about it?
I'm not sure. I ain't talked to him about it, but I remember rookie year, I had asked him, could I get his number?
Yeah.
But he wasn't coming up off of it back then, so. I got it now. I haven't got no input from it so far.
How important is it going to be Monday when the pads come on to really show what you're capable of doing as an offensive lineman?
It's going to be great. This time, that's when that real contact come in. So, it just continue doing what we're doing. Just because them shoulder pads come on, it shouldn't be no difference. Like, since the shoulder pads been off, I'm still coming off the ball the same. Working everything I've been doing. When the pads come on, it's time to just amp it up a little bit more.
I've talked to a couple defensive guys who sort of saying they're licking their chops because it's real football. You are too as an offensive lineman.
Absolutely,
though, right?
Yeah. They can lick their chops all they want to. I'm going to do my thing no matter what. We put them pads on, I'm coming out the ball just like them. They can have all the talk and all the rah-rah they want. But, hey, when it comes, we lined up. We coming out the ball.
You know, a lot of people say you got to be like 330 pounds to play guard in this league. I mean, how hard have you had to work to kind of disprove that?
It's been a real tough fight. Just coming from high school, I was undersized then. I've been undersized my whole life. So it's just been a constant effort just working on the little things, the technique, fundamentals. And also, me and myself, I'm undersized, but I'm strong as well. Like, I'm playing defensive linemen. Some defensive linemen, they small, 270, 280, like Aaron Donald. Then you go against some of the 330, 360 big defensive linemen. So I feel like we all in the trench, we're going against each other. No matter you O-line, D-line, it's all about what you got inside your heart and just that effort.
What is your weight right now? Did you have a goal to come in and get it up to a certain thing? And where are you?
My comfortable weight is 290. So if I can get in that area, I'm good.
Where are you there?
What are some of the examples of how you could use technique and fundamentals to make up for the perceived lack of size?
Just playing with good pad level, playing like that effort, like finishing longer than whoever you're playing against, and just coming off the ball, like getting them to that initial contact, coming off and meeting them before they even get going.
How much do some of the, like, the zone concepts that you guys use, how much does that kind of fit what you need to do in order to make up for that?
Oh, that fits perfect for me because we run out the ball. I'm fast, I'm speedy, I'm twitchy. So how we run the ball, like, I'm the perfect example of that.
Aaron, Roger Saffold last year in that left guard spot, so big and also athletic. Did you pick up any tips or tricks from him that you can adapt to your game as you try to get this job?
Absolutely. Just Roger, he pro bowler, all pro, great player. He's strong. But, like, just some of the little things, like his hands, like, and run blocking, how he'll come into the second level. He just running through people. Like, that's something I took from him. Like, I'm not slowing down. I'm going through whatever I'm going through. I ain't hesitating, measuring nothing I'm going to. I'm just running straight through it like it's a brick wall.
What are the advantages? Everybody talks about, hey, maybe Aaron's not the biggest guy, but what are some of the advantages maybe of being smaller, lighter, quicker out there?
I understand leverage. Like, I'm not as heavy. I'm undersized. So, like, just staying low. Feeling when somebody's finna come back another way. Because big guys, me and myself, I can feel when a player, like, a bigger person, trying to redirect because they're heavier, so it takes a little bit longer for them to put their foot and come back. But me, myself, I'm holding them, fighting that pressure with pressure, so when they about to react or go another direction, I can feel that drop my way, come back wherever they're going to go.
Right, and I guess especially in the run game, I mean, mobility is a good thing, being able to get outside or get to the second level also, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Just, so we're trying to beat people off the bar, so I'm trying to get from point A to point B as fast as possible. And so with my speed, I'm using it to my advantage every play.
How much has that been sort of like something you've heard about and something you've had to, I guess, fight against, even with other coaches or whatever? So you say, well, but he's only 275 or whatever. Like, how much of that has been a challenge for you to try to show people you can still play at this level?
It's been a challenge my whole life. So I say, like, people can say all they want to, but if you cut on the film and tape, I done went against the best of the best, the biggest of the biggest. So you can say what you want to say about my weight, but if you look at the film, film don't lie.
What were you coming out of high school?
Coming out of high school? So, my senior season, I played at like 280, 275. But after the season, I went into like a different type of grind, and I dropped hella weight. I dropped down to about like 225. Oh. And so when I went to Texas State, I was like 225, 230.
Playing O-line?
No, I had gained my weight. That summer, I gained like 30, 40 pounds. Okay. So my freshman year, I played at about 265, 270.
So always playing O-line and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever play defense at all?
In middle school, probably freshman year high school, but not too much.
Okay. Hey, long-term worry, the thing with smaller guys generally is towards the end of the season and wearing down and durability.
You saying like a lot of wear and tear on my body?
Yeah, over time.
Nah, it's just staying on top of your body, handling yourself like a pro. Like, coming in every day, recovering, taking care of yourself. So just take, like, nutrition-wise, in the training room, in the weight room, just staying on top of it. If you don't stay on top of it, then you're going to have some bad results on the back end of the season. So just being professional and staying on top of everything.
When you got here, did you think there was ultimately a path to what potentially is ahead of you now?
Absolutely. Like, where I'm coming from, I've always had big dreams, big goals, and so no matter what nobody said, I know who I am as myself. So whatever anybody else think of me or what they believe, that has nothing to do with me. And I know exactly what I'm capable of and what I can do. And that's all I've been doing my whole career, just proving that to myself and to everyone else.
So you came in and thought, I can be a starter here one day.
Absolutely. That was my goal, to come in and be a starter.
You better as a guard or a center?
I say I'm good at both. Mm-hmm. I say overall, I can guard, center, tackle, safety, D tackle, anything you play. I'm actually all I can to be the best.
That's our kind of guy.
Yes, sir.
How different is that, though? I mean, that transition, because obviously you've played some center here, too.
Yeah. Transition playing left guard and center?
Yeah, or either guard and center, yeah.
It ain't been much of a transition because, you know, in college, I played left guard, left tackle, center. Then came in next year, played right guard, left tackle. Came next year, center, right tackle. Then my senior year, I played straight right tackle. So I've been all over the place.
kind of talk about this a little bit. Is there something about the system in this offense that makes you a better fit for the Titans than maybe another team?
Absolutely. Just our scheme, like how we play. We run off the ball. And just we built off of effort, speed off the ball, toughness, and finish. And I'm a direct result of that. So, yeah, I feel like I fit that perfectly.
Great talking to you.
That was Titans offensive guard Aaron Brewer. Pretty interesting stuff there from Aaron Brewer, especially, you know, obviously a lot of talk there about him overcoming his lack of size. We've talked about that here before, but Aaron Brewer, every time he's been in there, has been an absolute load to deal with on the offensive line. So interested to see his pads come on today, if he's able to separate himself at left guard. How does Dylan Radins fare today with the pads coming on? Lots of things to figure out as a big day at Titans training camp today. Speaking of that, we'll be joined by Chase McCabe coming up live from Titans training camp. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seeing out there right now and the latest as the Titans have the pads coming on today as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you. And let's go out to Titans training camp. By the way, our Titans training camp coverage presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. And welcome in our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, out there of Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Chaser, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well, Rob. How are you?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. I'm just curious, from your vantage point, what has stood out to you so far at Titans camp? Obviously, you guys have been out there a lot over the course of the past week. What's kind of caught your eye thus far with the Titans as the pads come on for the first time today?
You know, honestly, for me, it's been the rookies, and I think that's a good thing. That you'll see some growing pains, especially with somebody like Malik Willis. You know, I've seen him have a couple of good days. He's had a couple of learning days. I don't like to call them bad days. I like to call them learning days. Treylon Burks has really stood out to me as looking like somebody that, one, showed up to camp in shape, which was obviously what we were all looking for. But he's been in the playbook. He's been studying and working on things. Hassan Haskins has been another one that has stood out to me as someone that has put in some extra work. He's actually scheduled to join us today after practice, so looking forward to being able to chat with him, the running back out of Michigan. But, yeah, I would say overall it's been this rookie class, you know, that you're noticing them for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons.
I know we're going to find out so much more, Chase, and you're going to see some stuff today that's going to be revealing in terms of the trenches, but when you've watched Dylan Radins, what have you thought so far?
I'm nervous. That's honestly what I feel like right now. I think they want him to win that job. In some ways, they need him to win that job because they spent a second-round pick on him for him to be a starter last year, and you really have just not seen any returns on that to this point. He played, what, one game last year, really one meaningful game because he had to, because of COVID and other things. So I think that they need him to win that job. But what I've seen so far, and again, it's very, very early. They're just now putting the pads on. I am nervous about that right tackle's position, specifically with Dylan Radins.
Chase, we know Joe and Jared got into this big time last week, and the more I can bring this up and make Rex Road mad, the more I'm going to do it. Do you think it's a big deal that Tannehill has been pretty lights out so far in training camp? Is that going to translate to the regular season?
They haven't put pads on yet.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I know. I mean, they haven't put pads on yet. Like, I think it's – is it good that he has shown up with, you know, with that, with some zip in his game and – you know, that he's not making mistakes. Sure, absolutely. I don't think that's a bad thing. But They haven't put the pads on yet. They did, or they're doing that today. We got a long way to go before I'm ready to say, you know, Tannehill for MVP, he's back, all those things. So I don't think it's a bad thing, but I'm not making a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I mean, the core of the argument is like, thanks, Robbie. Thanks a lot, man.
That's what I'm here for. Core of
the, well, again, it's just like Tannehill is important. He's the story of the season. But, like, he's not the story. To me, the story of camp shouldn't be a known commodity. Although I will say that just watching Derrick Henry do so much more work than we expected in the first few days, I did find to be very interesting. But, yeah, I mean, Tannehill, I know a lot of his picks last camp were early, too, which I didn't remember until Jared started sending me, you know, these things that from last year.
Of course. He keeps a file. The yeah, Tana file.
He has poor Ian, you know, over there trying to find little bits of audio that he can then mangle to make it go his way. But, I mean, look, it's like you said, Chase, it's better. It's better that he doesn't throw picks. It's good that he plays well. But like, he can be good in the regular season, and the real question about him is still going to be hanging out there.
Sure, and they're going to – it's going to hang out there really all season. I mean, because it's not the regular season that you need to worry about. It's the postseason. So he could have a fantastic regular season, and those questions are still going to be out there because what does he look like in January? So, I mean, I think he knows that. I think the team knows that. It's just something you kind of have to live with at this point. It's just like I think even as you get into midseason, you know, Derrick Henry, you're going to kind of go, all right, is the foot really okay? I mean, yeah, he's already got 700 yards through – six games, but is it really okay? Like, that's still going to be out there too. So that's just a part of it. But I think the difference now is, you know, and Tannehill said this, that, you know, he really spent the off season kind of thinking about it, and it really stuck with him. And now he has dealt with that, you know, in his way. And it does seem like he's more focused and trying to just prove himself right rather than proving everybody else wrong.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up live from Titans training camp today. Hassan Haskins joining him later in the show as well. So lots to look forward to coming up later from 10 to 2 here today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chaser, thanks for taking time to be with us. Looking forward to hearing from you here in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. So, Joe, as we look at camp, the pads coming on today. By the way, a lot of people pointing this out. Terry McCormick was the first place I saw it. Derrick Henry is present, but did not do any work in the first team period. So that kind of lines up with exactly what you said earlier of we may be reaching the point of training camp where Derrick Henry goes and does some nice stretching and exercises in the sand pit.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel is squirrely enough to have him in team with no pads, but he is not messing around now. Derrick, there's the sand pit. We'll see you in September, buddy.
Also, no Elijah Molden or Ben Jones out there again today, so sounds like at least something's going on there of some significance with those two, the two big injury problems right now. We did point this out earlier, Tommy Hudson coming off of PUP today as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting one with the tight end battle. Put him in there. And then, you know, Molden was limping a little bit the other day in the indoor. I didn't see what happened with Jones. He obviously has missed a lot of time. And then Danico Autry is one to watch too. He seems to be – he's going, but he's kind of limping around and – so we'll see on that front. But so far, it's actually been a pretty good camp for them in terms of injuries.
Well, and, you know, the thing you want to avoid, and Corey brought this up earlier, you know, going back to the Tannehill discussion, you know, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, not out there a lot last year in training camp just based on, you know, the injuries that they dealt with. Well, so far, Treylon Burks has been out there. Robert Woods has been out there. Austin Hooper's been out there. So there is – I do think there's some importance in that part of it in terms of just – establishing an identity with the offense. You've got new pieces coming in, getting on the same page with the quarterback. That, to me, is pretty important that they've all been able to do that thus far.
No question. And there were questions for different reasons about Burks and Woods, like from the start of camp. And so, no, those hours or those reps, those hours that they pile up should be key. And with Burks, now, it's going to be interesting. I almost wonder if he'll even be more impressive with pads, you know.
Because how big he is,
He's been so physical. So far, he's been really fascinating to watch. He definitely has some juice.
He's got the juice. And I tell you what, we talked about it. The guy can play at Arkansas. And if he can continue playing this well when the pads come on, that's going to be big news for the Titans. Anything in particular? I mean, obviously, the offensive line. Joe, we got about 30 seconds here. How big of a day is this for a guy like Dylan Radins with the pads coming on?
Yeah, it's just a huge week. He's going against really good players. So you expect him to get beat some, but you want him to get his fair share of wins in too. And then also Nicholas Petit-Frere, you know, it's both of those guys. How do they compare? Does Petit-Frere get reps, you know, against some of these better guys as well? Because if he does, it looks like more of a competition than it does so far.
Yep, going to be really interested to see how that shakes out. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace will have you covered from Titans training camp coming up next. That does it for us today. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.